All right, everyone, welcome back. We are Simply Bitcoin. We break down the news from Twitter, the daily fail, meme review, software releases, hardware releases, and the websites by plebs. Joining us today, multiple return guest, fellow toxic Bitcoiner, Liron. And we are going to dive into the numbers. Nico, let's go to the numbers.
Number time!
Brought to you by Bitcoin 2022. It's going to be the largest Bitcoin conference ever. And they just announced a new speaker. President Bukele of El Salvador is speaking at Bitcoin 2022. Take advantage of the link down below for 10% off and get your tickets now to Bitcoin 2022.
At the time of this recording, the block height is 710,899. The Bitcoin price, 56,480. Chain rewrite days, 749. Total public lightning capacity, 3,268.76. Moscow time, 1771, and blocks to the halvening, 129,101.
Dude, you know how I said, fuck you, Dennis, yesterday? I'm going to say, I really like Dennis. You know,
welcome I think back.
He's a good dude, and I would like to be at 58K. So me and him are close again. And, you know, I take back everything I said yesterday. I actually really like the guy. We've always been friends. 58K is an amazing number. What are your thoughts, Phil?
You know what? We're definitely scaring some noobs, right? There's going to be some noobs out there with some weak hands that are still building their conviction, and they're looking at this. And to them, you know, Bitcoin has died. You know? And look, in many ways, Bitcoin has died. Long live Bitcoin. You know, like, it's died and it's come back again 1,000 times. It'll die and come back again 1,000 times more. This is nothing. This is a dip for ants. This is like, we see this and we're like, I wish, all I think about when I see this, and this is exactly what I thought about this morning, is I wish I had more dry powder.
Yeah.
That was my only thought. My only thought was, I mean, I still stacked, but it was nowhere near what I would have liked to. And I'm like, damn it. I'm like, this is like a good level. And yeah, you know what? I don't really care. If it dips lower, I would just stack again. So, but again, that's not financial advice. That's just me being, you know, a fellow Bitcoiner and doing what we do best. So, yeah.
I think you freaking nailed it. Everyone wishes they had more dry powder, right?
Right?
But anyways, it's definitely let's be friends with Dennis Day. And is 56K the new 10K? Are we at the new 10K? Because we were at 10K for quite a long time.
Forever.
If you guys remember the last cycle, we were at 10K for a long time. We 10K became our new normal, and then all of a sudden it wasn't just one day, right? That's how Bitcoin works. They don't tell you that it has an emotional cost as well, right? And it takes every single emotion out of you. That's what the cycles do. But hey, they don't call it the Bitcoin roller coaster for no reason. Anyways, Phil, it's time for
the Daily Fail. Brought to you by Amber App. Check them out. Amber.app. It's Bitcoin made easy. The easiest way to invest in Bitcoin. The link is down below. Yellow, I know you had something to do with this price. What do you want us to do?
Amber, the smart way to stack sats.
All right. So we're coming up to turkey season, right? Thanksgiving. All right, so tweet from Edward, it's actually a retweet from Edward Snowden. Turkey is canceled, have some soy. What is he referring to? He's referring to a tweet which we mentioned yesterday on Simply Bitcoin, and we said that we were going to have this today, and here we are. So the Fed Reserve apparently is now giving out nutrition, diet notes, right? Based on the cost of food. So here we go from the Fred blog. Thanksgiving dinner serving of poultry costs $1.42. A soybean-based dinner serving with the same amount of calories costs 66 cents and provides almost twice as much protein. So there you go. All of a sudden, the Fed, just like that, is part of a health authority telling you what you should be buying for your family. So we're not going to pay attention to all the chemicals and the stuff that they put together to make this soya crap, you know, possible for us to ingest. We're going to leave that out. What we're going to focus on is the cost and the amount of protein that you get. Anyways, right? Inflation, all this crap.
Wait, but, let's yes. close the, like, do the...
You,
Yeah, okay, close the screen for a little bit so we can riff on it. Okay. Dude, so the reason I want to talk about
gonna
is...
going to add to it.
So, yeah. So, I saw amazing Peter Thiel video, by the way, that I highly recommend. And he was essentially describing the Fed as the Wizard of Oz, right? Where it's like this all-being thing, and then they pull the curtain, right? And it's just some man pressing buttons and whistles. And you kind of connect that, because we've been covering this with... you know, the language from Christine Lagarde, the video that we played you of Kamala Harris yesterday. We've played you all these videos where Christine Lagarde's like, I'm soul searching. Kamala Harris like, the price of bread is going to be higher. And that's going to cost you more money. Like, and you have to understand, right, is that these people are educated. And that's their best excuse, right? So the question that I have for you guys, and I have the same question for you, Phil, because... this has been their solution to everything. Every financial problem, every whatever, their answer has always been print more money, right? Whether it's to go to war, do things, it's always print more money. But I think this time is different. And we've explained why it's different, right? This time is different because, look, first of all, the historic amount of money printing, every time they print more money, it has less and less of an effect. And they can't stop it, right? If they stop it, they crash the economy, they crater the stock market. So they have no choice but to continue printing. But if they continue printing, more inflation, right? So they're kind of stuck between a rock and a hard place. I don't see how they're going to dig themselves out of this. I know a lot of other Bitcoiners agree. We have Jack Dorsey saying hyperinflation. We have a bunch of other smart people kind of agreeing with my perspective, our perspective, because I know Phil has the same perspective as well. So I don't know. But Leron, are we crazy? Because sometimes I feel like we're crazy people just like... inflation, you know, but I don't know. What are your thoughts, Leron?
Not at all, man. I mean, it's just like you said, they're smart people and they're coming up with these, you know, stupid excuses that we all know is just nothing but that. Oh, this is going up because of that, or this is going up because of that. They want to blame everything else other than their actions. And the crazy part about it is when they are doing this, they know what their actions lead to. They were just hoping. So like in 2008, I remember when, you know, quantitative easing and the printing happened, the effect did not happen as hard as the economy thought, as far as inflation and things like that. It didn't hit as hard as they thought. And they were surprised. And I think they were like, oh, we're just going to do it again. We're just going to keep printing money. And because we are this, you know, centralized powerhouse, well, you know, no one has a choice but to, you know, give us you know, what we want for our money. You know, we're just going to put them, everyone else, in a hard place type of thing. And that's what they think will prevent inflation. And, you know, they say things like, you know, people will, you know, wait to buy things, or, you know, they'll see the prices going up and they'll, but that's not the society that we live in. If you see like all around us, everybody's in mania. Everybody just wants to, they don't think for the future. They're just right now. And, you know, they'll pay the higher price. You know, Rolexes are stupid expensive right now. Like, everything, stupid expensive, and people are gladly paying the price. So, I mean, it's happening. Yeah, you know?
It's happening. It's happening before our eyes, man. It's just, it's crazy to experience this. And then we're kind of experiencing, I would say, a mass psychosis, right? Which is driven by the sickness that's hitting the world right now, where I feel like, you know, world governments or whatever are overreacting in a way. But my question to you, Phil, is how much of that overreaction is due to this financial situation that they find themselves in as well, right? Could it be, because I know you guys know what I'm talking about. You're anxious about something, but that anxiety bleeds into whatever it is you're doing, right? So, you know, you either, you know, you get angry too quick because your brain, your head is somewhere else. So how much of this overreaction by government to the sickness that's going on is due to them knowing that they can't kick the, this is all speculation, of course, but them knowing that they can't kick the can down the road anymore because there is no more road to kick it down, right?
I mean, look, you know, this is just the continued revolution of lowered expectations, right? The quality of everything that we have has just gone completely down the drain. Right? Like, everything is being substituted with these, you know, I guess you'd even call them like derivative products, you know, and to a certain extent, right? You know, we can see it where you have more and more, you know, dual income families, and just that is scraping by. So there's only so much that they can hide. We are at the point now where there is no way that they can continue to hide this. I mean, we just looked at a tweet from the Fed telling you that you should be getting a soy-based Thanksgiving dinner to save on costs. I want you to think about this. This is a financial, this is a monetary authority giving you, giving us nutrition or dietary advice. I don't even know what this is. You can spin it as holiday spending advice, right? Okay, if we're gonna look at it like them, but that's not what it is. They're telling you to eat shit.
To be
fair, is what they're doing. They are telling you to do that.
To be fair, if they said bugs instead of soy, it would have uncovered the plot. You know, they can't reveal that they are with Klaus, right? So they have to pivot a little bit and make it about soy and not about bugs, right? Just saying.
Okay, continuing on, right? Continuing on. Hey, listen, not only are you going to have that cheaper meal, but get ready. Get ready to continue to work, man. Cradle to grave. Let's do it, right? Okay, God, this is bleak. All right, so by the way, both of these tweets, we were tagged in by ICOsonauts, the first and the second one, but let's take a look at this. Who says you have to retire? Ah, career at Burger King. That just sounds amazing in my 80s. Anyways, Burger King, we welcome your experience and leadership. If you're energetic, friendly, and service-oriented, we have a full or part-time position on our team for you. So that's right. So now, let's normalize people who have worked their entire lives. Let's normalize the behavior that now they're going to come and work as Walmart greeters and they're going to come and work at fast food restaurants. Okay? This is what you can... And again, I'm not bashing on the actual work. Okay? This is not easy work in any way, shape, or form. Anybody who has ever worked in a fast food restaurant understands it's high stress, it's fast-paced. Okay? They did an experiment like this back in, in Flint, Michigan. Okay? When all of these terrible things happened to the auto plants. Okay? They tried to essentially retrain these auto workers as fast food workers, and it did not work. Okay, because it does. It takes, you know, it's a specific type of whatever, you know, it's a specific type of skill. So anyways, my point is that you're not finding Granny, okay? Granny's not churning out the burgers and the nuggets. Okay, like that's not what's happening, okay? Like she's not sitting there and like slapping this out all day long, 8 hours a day and then doing it all tomorrow. That's not what she should be doing. That's not what Grandpa should be doing. That's not what any of these people should be doing. Okay, these people already worked. Again, this is a symptom of the fact that none of our value was stored. None of our time was stored properly, and this is the result. A normalizing commercial where Burger King tries to make it seem like it's all good that your grandparents are working there.
Yeah, this is total clown world, you know. This is total clown world, and, you know, and I've been reading a lot about, you know, the fall of the Roman Empire, and just, especially towards the end, the similarities are just... they're outstanding, right? And it's the moral decay of society. You know, like, of course, there was no Burger Kings back then, but, you know, you could find essentially analogies in history, just, you know, anything goes, right? You know, the ethical standards, the legal standard, it's just like, you see it, you know, with world events, we don't have to describe them to you. They're all around you. If you have a Twitter account, if you have a YouTube account, you see it day to day, where it's like, these things that you never thought happened, starting to happen. And it's exactly what we said. And when we had Shishi and Texas Slim on the show, they were talking about in the farming industry. And then Phil, you were talking about the washing machine that you bought. And I was talking about the video game industry. And it's like every industry is affected about inflation. I want you guys to think about the industry that you guys work in, right? How inflation, and I'm sure you could find things where it's like, were things better done? Was the quality of service, the quality of good better 10 years ago than it is today? You know, that's the question you have to ask yourself. And if the answer is it's a worse quality, then you have to ask yourself, why is that? That's not normal. You know, a decade later and things haven't got better, you know, and again, like most people, and this is the unfortunate part, is that most people blame the political system or the economic system. That's what they're looking at. They're like, oh, it's the left party. Oh, it's the right party. It's neither party. It's not the economic system. Capitalism works just fine. It's that the base layer of the world is fundamentally broken. There's a flaw in it. And you think that you've been making this money, right? But you haven't been.
right? And it's just it's tuned everything out of whack, right? You think that you're investing your money in the stock market, but dude, if your stock return hasn't given you a 15 to 20% this year, you're in the red. Okay, that's just the reality of it. Look, put the CPI numbers aside. They're bullshit. The things that people care about and pay the most for are energy and food. Energy and food have gone up more than 25% this year. So that's the signal. That's the thing that I want you guys to focus on, right? So again, what type of person is getting a 25%, other than Bitcoin, of course, as Bitcoin fixes all this, but what type of investment gives you a 20% return? Think about it. It's complete, and this is the standard that the world is living on, right? They're living on this. The desperation that this breeds, the nihilism that this breeds, this affects all facets of life. I don't think we could even comprehend it, right? I think that, you know, once this dark period passes, right, because we have been living in dark ages, right? I looking back, man, it's gonna be crazy. What are your thoughts on this, Liron?
Yeah, I mean, I think you said it right. You know, with the food, the energy, and, you know, shelter, you forgot that one. You know, real estate prices, you know, just living has become, you know, very difficult if you think of just regular salaries. And in some industries, the salaries have inflated in order to match it, but it's inflated. That's why I use that term, because it's also kind of crazy if you compare them to other industries and you just kind of try to balance things out. It doesn't make sense. So it's it's difficult. And I think that, you know, in some places people feel it harder, in other places people feel it a little bit less, but, you know, we see it coming. You know, I feel fortunate. You know, I moved right in the middle of this situation that we find our world in today. And, you know, I think I got, you know, a good deal and a good landlord that, you know, we have mutually respect for each other. So I don't think he's looking to, you know, raise prices anytime soon in comparison to the market. But I have friends that are looking to move right around me, and the prices are not in their favor. It's unfortunate.
Man, it's unfortunate to say the least. But Bitcoin fixes this. Phil, you have one last fail.
Do we have time for it?
I don't know.
This one's kind of a long one.
Should we save it for tomorrow? That was an
yeah.
Awesome
we
riff.
Should.
That was an awesome riff. That was a good.
Yeah,
riff.
That was.
We covered a lot of topics. I think we provided a lot of value. But
we did.
Let us know down in the comments. Let us know. But yeah. So, anyways,
leave it for tomorrow.
Yeah, we'll leave it for tomorrow. So we'll say we'll let it saturate. You know,
that's right.
Leave it in the fridge to fail. But anyways, Phil, it's time for the Daily Meme Review. Brought to you by Citadel 21. It's the best Bitcoin cultural zine. They have different artwork for every volume, and it's scarce. There's only 1,000 copies per volume. Get your copy of Citadel 21 today. This is kind of revenge. You know, if the fiat people knew how to make memes, this is what they would do. This is what they would do. And this is exactly what BTC Pins did. 58K is transitory, right? Anyone, I'm sure it's a very famous meme. If you don't know it, that's your problem. Next one. Brought to us by Cedric Jungleman. Awesome podcast, by the way. And I think they changed the text. The new global reserve currency and why we're too stupid to see it coming. That is so true. Like, they
is that
should,
real?
They should, No.
Damn
they
it.
Should, they should. Remember what I told you about insects? You could save the planet by eating insects. Yeah. Oh, I think they changed everything. How to benefit from the Cantillon effect. We're going to talk about the Cantillon effect in a little bit. But anyways, they should really rename this magazine to the Fiat Economist, like, to be honest with you. Okay, moving on. Next one's brought to us by Bitcoin Sample. And this is why we Maxis shitcoiners. Highly accurate. We try to do this on Simply Bitcoin and we get a lot of shit for it, but it's the truth. Anyways, moving on. Next one brought to us by the legendary Spinte. It took me 6 months to learn how to pronounce his name. Central banks, inflation, central banks, Bitcoin. Very cool. Next one. I think this is the last but not least. The meme factory, live in a pod, live in a volcano. And it's like this. So I actually saw it was Savage. I think it was by Owie. And he essentially said, like, it was a picture of those Pompey bodies. Of, like, these are Bitcoiners in the future. For anyone who doesn't know, Pompey's like this volcano that blew up next to this Roman town and buried people alive. And I thought it was funny. And I honestly think it's refreshing because, look, The Bitcoin City was super exciting. We covered it yesterday. We covered all the implications of what a Bitcoin bond would mean, what a Bitcoin City would mean, all the details about all that stuff. But I agree with a lot of the, you know, I know Francis Pouliot was saying his thoughts on this, where, you know, a lot of Bitcoiners have become propagandists for the country of El Salvador. Specifically, El Salvador is fine, but more so for President Bukele, right? Mm. So we kind of have to, you know, be a little wary of that and, like, at least provide, you know, a counterpoint, right? Because it's like, look, I'm super happy that Bukele's doing this. I'm super happy for El Salvador. I think it's historic. But at the same time, don't trust Verify. You know, like pay attention, you know, like see what's going on there, right? All that glitters isn't gold. So let's see what happens. I'm cautiously optimistic. I'm going to pull a Phil. But anyways, for those memes, Phil, I'm going to give it a Crypto Cloaks Honey Badger on a croc. It smells like shit because it's right next to my face. What about you, Phil?
Crocs. So disappointing. Anyways, but I love the Honey Badger. Big fan of the Honey Badger. You're absolutely right about Nayib Bukele, right? Because let's be honest, you know, at the end of the day, it's like, just, you know, it's not all sunshine and rainbows. We're all, you know, it's all human beings, and there's a whole lot of incentives at play, right? Anyways, but amazing memes, love the memes, and for that, I am giving it a very rare and interesting Pegasus Crossing sign. Ooh. That's right, Pegasus is crossing.
Very nice. What about you, LeBron? What would you give those memes?
So I like those memes. Those are very good memes, and for that, I'm going to give it Crypto Folks, Bitcoin Grenade.
Ooh. Man, so much free advertising for Crypto Cloaks. But anyways, Phil, it's time for... No, wait a second. Not anyways, hold on. Join our Telegram group. Link us some Bitcoin memes to review. And comment down below. Do you agree with our memes? Do you disagree? Read it yourself. I don't know. But anyways, Phil, it's time for the Daily News. Brought to you by CryptoCloaks.com. Get yourself the best 3D printed Bitcoin merch, like the Honey Badger on the croc. Yeah, you can get it from CryptoCloaks. Or an actual Honey Badger fits a hardware wallet. Or an El Salvador Bitcoin grenade comes in any colors, like LeRon's. Anyways, visit CryptoCloaks.com today and take advantage of the link down below for 5% off. All right, so remember how I've been talking about how Texas is going to defend this to the death? I've said that many times, and mm-hmm. I suspect that the federal government's going to be the one to really give Bitcoin shit. And because of that, Bitcoin is really a threat to essentially the fiat money printer, right? And I think that the federal government mostly is the main benefactor of that. But anyways, let's see what Ted Cruz has to say. And remember, guys, this is all about incentives. I don't trust any politician, but he is protecting his own incentives. He is protecting his own key. He is protecting the state of Texas. So it obviously it doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure out why he's saying these things. Anyways, I'm going to shut up, let him talk.
You know, I have to say, I think cryptocurrency and Bitcoin mining provide enormous opportunities. They're creating vast amounts of wealth. They're creating a hedge for people against inflation. Inflation is a growing concern across the country. They're creating entrepreneurs in all 50 states. I'm also particularly proud that my home state of Texas is becoming an oasis for the blockchain community, for Bitcoin miners, for innovators and entrepreneurs in the crypto world. Unfortunately, the one thing that is capable of screwing all of this up is the United States Congress. And I have deep concerns that Congress is already in the process of doing so. As most people watching this hearing know, in the recently passed so-called bipartisan infrastructure bill, there are provisions targeting and inflicting enormous harms on the crypto industry. As originally drafted, the infrastructure package contained a provision that expands the definition of broker to nearly all participants in the cryptocurrency structure, treating them as a financial institution, which means they have to report consumer information to the IRS, even if those participants don't have access to that information. Additionally, the infrastructure bill included language incorporating digital assets into Section 60 five.
Okay. So we've been covering this tremendously, right? We covered how that specific section, section 6050I, which Ted Cruz was about to talk about, in the House, it's a bipartisan effort, by the way. They're already trying to pass an amendment to strike that altogether. That amendment relates to essentially, even if I wanted to send $10,000, if it was worth $10,000 or more to Bitcoin to LeRon or Phil, I would have to report their name, last name, their address, their social security number to the IRS that I made that type of transaction, right? And why is all this happening? This is all happening because Bitcoin is a threat to the powers that be. I told you, Bitcoin is a threat to the fiat money printers. So what they're trying to do is that they're trying to essentially make Bitcoin into just an extension of the current financial system. They're trying to mold it into the current financial system. This is what the government has done to any innovation. They did this to PayPal. Have you noticed why PayPal sucks? The reason PayPal sucks is not because of PayPal. It's because the government made it that way. So there wouldn't be more competition, right? This was all on purpose, right? Now, the problem that they have, right, and I'm going to use Satoshi's quote for this, is that governments are very good at cutting off the head of central entities, right? But decentralized entities are holding their own, right? So this kind of applies to this specific thing, right? Is that, yeah, they could pass these laws in the United States, but all that's going to do, and this is, by the way, these are not my words. These are words from politicians that also have concerns about this, is that all you're going to do is just move the innovation from the United States someplace else. They're just going to pack up and leave, right? You're already seeing Nayib Bukele. We covered it yesterday with the Bitcoin City. Those tremendous amount of incentives, 0% income tax, 0% property tax, 0% whatever. Why do you think that is? Do you think he's just doing that out of the goodness of their heart, out of the goodness of his heart? No, it's to incentivize Bitcoiners to leave their countries and move to El Salvador, right? In El Salvador, I see hope. In the United States, all I see is darkness. It's like you're trying to essentially fix this old system that's broken. Everyone's getting stolen from by inflation, right? So it's like the system is fundamentally broken and corrupt here. China gave you an amazing opportunity based on their totalitarianism and their ideology. They gave a gift to the United States, and the United States is on the verge of squandering it. Now, again, being a little bit hyperbolic, because the United States, again, each individual state has tremendous amount of sovereignty over the federal government. Like, you already saw this in the marijuana industry. Marijuana is illegal on a federal level, but on a state level, it's legal. So even if these types of regulations get passed on a federal level, I suspect, you know, and Ted Cruz already hinted to this when he used the word oasis, right? An oasis of, you know, he said blockchain, but I'm sure he just doesn't know, right? You're going to see, you know, to use his word, an oasis of Bitcoin in Texas, in Wyoming, in Florida, right? So again, you know, the U.S. has a little bit of an upper hand here, you know, versus China. But look, I think this problem is very easy to solve. Just let Bitcoin in. Just let Bitcoin do its thing. Relinquish the power. I know they're not going to do this. I'm wishing here. But it fixes this, right? It's going to make people wealthier. It's going to give more people freedom, right? That's how you fix this problem. And I think that, you know, Phil, we've been talking about this tremendously. This is going to become more and more political as the time goes by. You're going to hear more and more predominant politicians talking about Bitcoin firsthand, right? Again, because it's a threat to the fiat money printer. And again, it's a tremendous opportunity for a lot of their constituents. So I suspect we're going to see a clash, right? And we are seeing a clash, but we're seeing the skirmishes before the battle, right? Anyways, Phil, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, it's interesting, right? Because he makes excellent points, right? They benefit everyone. It doesn't make a difference whether you're, you know, right or left, you know, red or blue. It makes no difference. At the end of the day, you know, something that retains value, okay, helps everybody. But the problem is that most people can't get out of their own ways, right? Like, people can't get out of their own ways. And then on top of that, when you're looking at politicians, the incentive structure is just so... what's the word I'm looking for? Corrupt, right? The incentive structure is just so corrupt. They're essentially just working for the corporations that, these people, like, they're not even allowed to make the actual right decision, right? They're not actually able to make a correct decision that actually benefits the, you know, their constituents. All they can do is provide a voice to the people who pay them.
Yep.
And that's it. And don't get me wrong, you know, you've got some of them that actually come out and say the right things simply because the people that pay them, they are incentivized for these things as well. So it's just really an unfortunate state of affairs. And this all goes back to the money being broken, right? Because the closer you are to the money spigot, the sooner you get to the money, the sooner you can pay off those groups of people to, you know, tote your line. And this is how we end up in a situation where every single news broadcast is saying the exact same thing. You know, this is how we get into situations where companies are saying the same thing as well. You know, like, I'm sorry, but it's just too bad. And you know what? To your point, they can cut off all the centralized heads. The shitcoins, all of that stuff, listen, all those people, they all have tons to worry about. Bitcoin, we've said this before, they can stifle it for a time. Yes, it may in the short term impact the quote-unquote, you know, fiat price. But at the end of the day, another block is churned. The development on Lightning continues, and people continue to join the network and learn about Bitcoin. It doesn't, all they're going to do is exclude themselves. So the U.S. really, like, at this point, you know, Congress really needs to take a look at themselves and say, hey, you know, do I actually want to, you know, make this country better going forward for real, or do I just want to keep playing pretend, you know, and either be a LARP or an NPC? I get to, you know, pick my acronyms
or lose that opportunity to El Salvador, right? Because that's what's going to happen. It's like there is no border here, right? It's like if you don't pick up that opportunity, another country is going to pick up the opportunity because the incentive is there, right? Anyways, Leron, what are your thoughts on this?
Yeah, you know, I agree. I think that these, you know, these politicians, their incentives are completely misaligned, and, you know, they don't understand even the technology enough to make good decisions, even if they did want to legislate it. And the reality of it is when something, you know, when they don't understand something, they're better off just leaving it alone completely and letting it do its thing. And you know, then when you're really presented with a problem, at least you know what to regulate, maybe, you know, maybe. But like you said, The shit coins, they're centralized. So they will be regulated. They can be regulated. They are already, many of them are already doing things that are against our existing regulation. So it's not like, you know, there's anything new that really needs to be done there. But Bitcoin is just a different animal. So yeah, it might stifle it in the short term, long term, it doesn't really matter. I hope that, you know, the right people get in the right people's ears and let them understand that you kind of just can't regulate this thing. You know, you just can't. It's going to hurt you more than it will benefit you. Like you said, there's El Salvador. There's going to be plenty of other places that are going to pick up the slack if they see the United States not supporting people building on this technology, especially. That's what, you know, companies building on this technology.
So. Absolutely. And, you know, we have a saying in Bitcoin, which is like Bitcoin really exposes the hidden totalitarians on both sides of the political spectrum. And it really shows them for what they are. And these people have been used to essentially controlling people either by regulations or by having influence. Bitcoin says no, right? And it's like, you either okay with that or you're not. And it really, you know, we have the Dave Troy guy on Twitter, and just this guy looks like a psychopath. You know, he's like saying it's like Bitcoin's right wing. It's like this and that. And you're like, what the right radical. Somehow he made a connection between what happened January 6th to Bitcoin. Like it was just total nonsense that this guy was spouting out.
Pots.
And again, it has to do with the fact that you cannot control it. Right. And that drives a lot of people on the left and the right up the wall. But anyways, Phil, the Matrix is breaking. Right. You covered the turkey. Right, how the Fed was covering the turkey. This is from Walter Bloomberg. Walter Bloomberg says, excellent account on Twitter, and he covers essentially the news like as it comes out, right? And these were some of his latest tweets. Yellen says, do have to be concerned about inflation. This is a complete 180 with what she said at the beginning of the year, which Phil and I covered. And Phil and I specifically said, yes, you do have to worry about inflation. And we were right. Now, how bad do things have to be for her to drop this type of language? What data is she looking at? Because Jack Dorsey said this like 3 weeks ago, which we covered, hyperinflation. You know, all of the blue checkmark freaked out. This is just, it's just irresponsible for you to say that. Like, you could talk all the shit you want about Bitcoin. Bitcoin doesn't care, right? So it really showed, like, what is the more fragile system? A system that you can't say certain words? Because that all of a sudden, it's so stupid. Anyways, Yellen says, over long run, Fed needs to play important role to ensure that inflation does not become endemic. Ooh. Right. So again, you know, that's scary. We also have rhetoric from the White House saying this inflation thing, you know, like, and again, this is really putting them on their back heels because this hurts everybody. Right. Mm-hmm. This is no matter how much propaganda you come up with. Right. The sticker price does not lie. Right. And let's talk a little bit about inflation, about the money printer and what the money printer does. Right. We've talked about wealth inequality tremendous amount of time on this show. And what is the wealth inequality caused by? It's caused by something called the Cantillon effect. The Cantillon effect is essentially this theory or this idea that the money printed, right, goes from it's not distributed equally, right? The first people to get it are the people at the top of the economic spectrum and the state. And the people to least benefit from inflation are the top on the lower level on the economic scale, right? So what does that cause over time? That causes the rich to get richer and the poor to get poorer, right? And I think this is a startling headline, right? Comes from October. The wealthiest 10% of Americans own a record 89% of all U.S. stocks. That isn't due to capitalism. That is due to the fiat money system. Anyways, moving on to a tweet from Alex Gladstein, and this is exactly what I was talking about, right? U.S. share of total net worth held by wealth percentiles. Now, that's a lot of signal as is, right? But I think Alex Gladstein had even more signal. Interesting to see that after the last three major U.S. financial crises, in each case, you have a temporary decline in the differential wealth and power of the 1% followed by a huge surge. Now, the one that I have memory for is the 2008 financial crisis, right? And as you could see, right, you know, there's a little bit of a bump because it was their fuck up in the first place. But guess who bailed them out? It was Main Street, right? So it's like, this is the crazy part. And this is why I get so upset when people are like, oh, it's capitalism. Oh, it's capitalism. Oh, it's this. It's like, no. We live in a society right now that it's capitalistic as long as the elite and the 1% are making money. But as soon as they fuck up and they drop the ball, man, are those losses socialized as fuck. And it's Main Street that bails them out. So if it wasn't Main Street that bails them out, in 2008, the correct position would have been let all those banks that fucked up crash. And it would have sucked in the short term. It would have sucked balls. But all of them would have learned their lesson and they wouldn't have done it again. And companies that would have that are better at them at what they do would have replaced them. But we incepted society with this idea of too big to fail. That is not, that doesn't exist in capitalism. That's a socialistic term. And not that I'm talking shit about socialism or any of that like that, but what I'm trying to say is that true capitalism has not been tried yet, because again, as long as there's a place or an institution that could bail out other institutions because of their unlimited amounts of money printing, you can't have actual capitalism. Now, under a Bitcoin standard, what happens, right? Let's say 2008 happened again, but we were under a Bitcoin standard and all those banks started to fuck up and they're like, bail me out. Who do you have to bail out, bro? There is no one to go and tap on the shoulder and say, bail me out. There is nobody. So what does that cause? What is the unintended consequence of or unintended, unintended consequence or the consequence of that, right? Is that it forces people to be more responsible because they know they won't be bailed out. It forces better businesses to the top. Right? Because if they don't do a good job managing money, if they're not taking as much risk, right? Think about it, right? But again, Bitcoin fixes all of this. Bitcoin was born because of 2008 financial crisis. So I'm really interested to see, right, once we manage to separate the money from state, what the type of society that we live in, right? So anyways, I'm going to pass it on to Leron before I pass it on to Phil. Leron, am I talking mad shit?
No, I think you're really just spot on. I mean, that was a perfect riff. It's, you know, you've got it, you know, this whole idea of I completely lost myself. Crap, I lost my complete train of thought.
I hate it when that happens.
It's okay. I did it too. You want to pass it on to Phil and we'll go back to you, Leron.
Yeah.
Phil. All right. Yeah, so look, so the wealth inequality, right? That I didn't realize that number was that high, right? That much, 89% of the stock market is held by the top 10%. Like, I mean, that is just absolutely insane. But look, you know, one thing that we've never really encountered is natural market forces.
Yes.
Okay? The people that really needed to be bailed out, the people that really genuinely got screwed, the people that ended up as the Walmart greeters and the people working in the fast food restaurants when they should have been retired. Those are the freaking people. If you want to sit there and you want to give out charity to somebody, you give out charity to the people that you screwed, okay? But that's not what actually ended up happening. The people who needed it the least got it all, okay? They got it all. We should have I totally agree with you. We should have completely let that collapse, let the chips lie where they may. And you know something? It's like, oh, well, you know, you don't know who that's going to affect, you know, when you say something like that. You know something? Look at all the people who got screwed now. Look how much bigger the bubble is now. Look how many more people are now going to be affected by this stupidity, okay? And this greed.
Absolutely.
So you know what? We could have easily spent a little less time getting dinged, okay? Would have sucked, like you said, but we probably could have, you know what? We actually could have let the market forces, the natural market forces, take their place. And we'd be stronger for it today. Anyways.
Absolutely. I think you said it best. Leron, thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, I totally agree. And you know, like you said, if they would have just let it fail, and, you know, in throughout all of market histories, you always have crashes because you always get to a point where something is not, you know, the market is just not equal and you got to let it go back to where it was and you have to let it happen. And they didn't. And the, you know, the sad thing is that pain that you said that we had to experience, you have to experience the pain. It is what it is. It's just getting worse and it's going to continue to get worse as they bail this out, you know, more and more. And it's, you know, I don't really know where it leads, you know, at this point where they've gotten it to with all the money printing, whether it's, you know, to the major banks and you know, the rich. Also, the money printing that's just going directly to people, you know, how do you wean people off of that? How do you wean businesses off of that? How do you solve that? You know, and that's why we're in the position that we are today. And I don't really know, other than Bitcoin, you know, what can save this?
Absolutely. I man, beautifully, beautifully said. And kind of pivoting a little bit, want to cover this last segment. And we brought Simply Bitcoin's technical correspondent, Leron, to talk about it, because me and Phil are fucking idiots when it comes to this thing. But anyways,
and big, other things.
And other things. We're just not idiots on this. We're idiots on many things. But anyways, Jack kind of announced this. It was a couple of days ago where he's been working on a DEX, a Bitcoin decentralized exchange. He released this, and he was very cryptic. It's by TBD, and that's his Twitter name too, right? And a bunch of numbers. So anyways, just to kind of read, I think it's on purpose, but anyways, just to read a little bit. When the Bitcoin white paper was published over 13 years ago, it laid out a vision for a world where individuals no longer need to rely on trusted third parties to conduct business between willing participants in the economy. We believe that the economy should be inclusive. We need to build on ramps to the future where everyone could access and participate in the economy. In order to achieve this, the nature of financial institutions needs to evolve. We can either embrace this change by investing in the future as a public good, by rethinking our business models and ways to create value, or we can let this future happen to us. As we create this future, we also have to be realistic about where we are today. The vast majority of people receive wages and pay for goods and services in fiat currency. They must pay taxes in fiat currency. So how do we unleash the potential of Bitcoin and decentralized financial infrastructure when most of us still live in a world of fiat? To do so, we need to build bridges between the fiat and the Bitcoin and shitcoin worlds through these connections. We will massively improve the accessibility and utility of Bitcoin and shitcoin assets by reducing the overhead of moving in and out of these assets in order to perform daily economic transactions. The TDX protocol aims to create ubiquitous and accessible on and off ramps that allow the average individual to benefit from Bitcoin and shitcoin innovation. So that's a lot of fucking jargon. It's a lot of bullshit. Leron, what is this? Why the fuck should the plebs care? What the fuck did I just read? Ah!
So yeah, I really think that this project is interesting. I think it's interesting for a couple of reasons. The base technology
Hold on. First question. What is it?
So it's a decentralized protocol for exchanging assets, effectively. Now,
is there a shitcoin?
No. There's no shitcoin. There's no token. You don't need a token. You don't need anything. Now, you know, some people have a little bit of a difficulty with this idea because, like the like they mentioned in the article, it is talking about fiat. It is talking about the traditional, you know, world that we live in, which comes with regulations and things like that. So, you know, this is really creating a sort of marketplace for transacting of any goods, really. It doesn't have to be, you know, Bitcoin for fiat. It could be Bitcoin or, you know, for anything else. It could be really a transaction between any two different parties. And it's not a trustless system. It's a decentralized system, but it still requires trust. And, you know, I think it's analogous to our real world. We still have trust in our real world. Just like I trust you two based off of the reputation that you guys have built, you know, for yourselves over the over, you know, all these episodes that you guys do every single day. So you built a reputation for yourselves, and that's what we, you know, trust. And this system looks to do that in a similar way. So it's using a couple of technologies under the hood. One of them is called decentralized identifiers, DIDs, which there's different flavors of them. The favorite flavor and the one that, you know, I'm pretty sure that they're going to be using is called ION, which is anchored to the Bitcoin blockchain. It's using another technology called an activity hub, which allows you to kind of take this an identity hub, which allows you to take this DID, and you or other people can you know, effectively build applications using this. The real Web3, the real decentralized application where you are in control of your identity hub and someone can come and, you know, make a request to it or something like that, and you either say yes or no, depending on the rules that you set up. So you're in control of yourself. So this protocol is taking those ideas and allowing us to make a marketplace. So effectively, you know, they're really targeting what they know best at Square, which is, you know, the fiat exchange system. So it's, you know, they're talking about it more in a banking kind of way. So they have this idea of, you know, participating financial institution, which is one of the counterparties in this trade. And this part, you know, participating institution might need to, you know, understand KYC of you. You know, they might have to say we only deal with the U.S., you know, U.S. citizens. That's what we deal with. That's what we're allowed to deal with. So what happens is what they do is you have a DID, the U.S. government has a DID, U.S. government can issue a verifiable credential, as it's called, to your DID to say, yes, this person is a U.S. citizen. And then you can show that verified credential to anyone that needs. And it's actually kind of interesting because you don't have to reveal everything about you. You know, it depends on how this is built. This is very, there's no concrete, stuff here yet. It's a lot of, you know, there's a lot of stuff to be designed and built, but you only, you know, show what the other party might need to verify about you. And you're able to do this with cryptography. Mm-hmm. So what this allows is to create a marketplace. So let's say, you know, you go on this wallet that you have, that is your DID wallet that, you know, has all of your stuff in there, and you can crawl the network, so to speak, for these different, you know, financial institutions that do what you would want to do. If you want to buy Bitcoin for your fiat, you would look for you know, institutions that can, you know, facilitate that. And they, you pretty much just supply them with an ask and they come back to you with a bid. And you could do this to multiple institutions and the one that fits best works best. Now, if you don't want to do KYC and there's an institution out there that wants to service you without KYC, depending on the jurisdiction that you're in, they're able to do that. So there's no KYC or anything like that built into this protocol. It's just a protocol to allow the transfer and trade decentralized trade of nearly anything. So
what's the difference between this and a centralized exchange, Leron? Like what's the difference in turn? Like are we going to notice this as users? Are we going to notice a big difference?
I think that, you know, it's hard to say. Early on, probably not, because it depends on how many providers you're going to have. So initially, it might feel very similar to what we have now, because you only have a limited amount of providers. But I think this gives a lot more, you know, room for new providers to come on board and offer services and say, maybe, you know, we're going to offer you lower fee. We don't have big overhead, lower fee, or whatever it is else that they can provide. If they can provide an easier form of KYC that, you know, fulfills their obligation to the government, but makes their users feel comfortable, maybe that's something that they can provide. I think one of the interesting things that this can provide is an easier form of multi-jurisdictional kind of exchange. You can have, you know, these providers that adhere to multi-jurisdictions, and you can have this trade that's like free between them, and it, you know, creates market.
So, like, I'm trying to paint a mental image in people's head. Is this something like BISC? Like, would you need to download your own type of hardware and run the BISC software on your computer so that, you know, you're connecting directly peer-to-peer with other individuals? Or how do you see this where I know it's early, but how do you see this working?
Yeah, so it's similar to that. It has a couple of components. So it has the component which we'll call just a wallet, because that's what we understand. So this component holds your DID identity, which is, you know, it's a form of public-private key pairs, just like we know. It just has some additional functions to be able to like roll over and recover and things like that that are built into it. So you have your wallet. Your wallet can have the types of modules or things that you would like to interact with. In this case, it would be the bid-ask module for TBDEX. So let's say you would have that. You also have another piece of this, which is what's known as your identity hub. Now, this is something that you can run personally as a node for yourself, just like we do with Bitcoin nodes, or this is something that you can run in the cloud. Now, the interesting thing about the identity hub idea is that it can replicate across different devices. So if you run it in the cloud and you keep stuff encrypted in the cloud, you still hold those keys, because when you want to do anything with that, it replicates to your local device where your wallet is, where your keys are, and it can decrypt, encrypt anything, and, you know, kind of send it back to the cloud as almost a relay. So you have these few different sections of it. But effectively for the end user, you know, the goal is they'll just download an app. They'll either pay for this, you know, identity hub provider, or they'll maybe run a piece of hardware at home, and that will be the most of it. And there will be multiple parties doing these types of things. Same thing with the participating financial institution. They will run their own identity hub with their own rules and their own things. And you'll almost be able to crawl the ION, identity network, so to speak, and find different providers. There's going to be wallets that just cache certain providers for you and just show them to you, maybe by promotion or something like that. But yeah, you're going to have a choice of these different, you know, banks, whatever you want to call them, to deal with and to transact with. And you're going to hold your own keys, you know, with this, so to speak. So you're going to be in charge of what does or does not happen. It's, you know, so it's opt-in for you. Now, another thing that I want to make people aware of is that, yes, so you have this identity that builds reputation for yourself and for the institutions, but you're not necessarily limited to one identity. I would like to see a future where these wallets allow you to switch easily between different identities, and I might have a, you know, verifiable credential from some, like, you know, maybe PlayStation. I'm a PlayStation, you know, I play PlayStation, I have my identity on there, and, you know, I want to have my reputation from that. That's fine. But I don't want that to cross over to my professional reputation, you know. So I think those are the kind of things that we're going to see from this, and I think this is really going to drive a true form of, you know, Web3, this decentralized web, without the need for any kind of token or, you know, game theory. We're anchoring security to Bitcoin.
That's awesome. I mean, look, it's so early. Lebron has this all visualized in his head. I'm having trouble figuring it out. I'm thinking BISC. Phil, could you visualize this better than I can?
I mean, I don't know if I could visualize it better than you can, but I can definitely visualize it. It's pretty interesting. For the people who want to know more about this, right? There's a guy on Twitter. I don't know what his handle is, but you could look him up. Daniel Burr, like Daniel B-R-R-R-R. So Buckner. He used to, huh?
Daniel Buckner.
There you go. Thank you.
Yes. CSU Wildcat.
Yes, exactly. Thank you, CSU. So this guy, okay, tweets a lot about this stuff. He used to work for Microsoft. I believe he's now moved over to Square and is the one that is working on this. So Yeah, he's anyways, anytime I've read this, it totally blows me away. I love that they anchor the, you know, the identifier to Bitcoin, because it's really, you know what? I'd like to believe that he has played a small role in that happening. You know? Like, because I believe he's a Bitcoiner, and, you know, like, I think that he figured out that, look, you know, if we're gonna do this, then we have to anchor to the right, you know, the proper chain, which is Bitcoin. So
what you're trying to say, Phil, is that you don't need a shitcoin.
Yes, that's exactly what I'm saying.
Yeah, and I just want to add to that. I think it's interesting, you know, that this, you know, the protocol around the DID is something called Psytree that Ion is using, and it's blockchain agnostic. There's actually, I think, some other ones that are using other blockchains, but Microsoft chose Bitcoin because they said for the cost, because again, they're paying transaction fees, they're paying for this, but for the cost that they're paying, there's unmatched security. There's nothing in the world that will allow them to feel like they can, you know, put a piece of data out there and it can never change. You know, Bitcoin's the only thing that can allow that.
Beautiful.
Oh, sorry. Really interesting stuff. I played today's video by accident. I'm sorry, Phil. Forgive me.
It's not professional.
Phil says, fuck you.
Not professional.
Every day. It's the first thing. He doesn't say, good morning, Nico. He says, fuck you. And I'm like, hey, Phil, how you doing? But anyways, good, awesome news. I still can't comprehend it. That's Nico, but I hope
D-I-D.
D-I-D. I hope you guys found value in this. I know Phil got it more than me, but definitely going to bring Simply Bitcoin's new technical correspondent as this develops, because Phil and I can't cover it to save our lives. But anyways, Phil, there was an open source software release today. Why don't you tell everybody about it?
Software releases. Brought to you by CypherSafe.io. Check them out. Protect your Bitcoin from disaster. Fireproof, waterproof, petproof. They've got the Cypher Wheel. You could store your seed in the Cypher Wheel, and it's locked. Anyways, link is down below. We've got Nix Bitcoin version 0.0.58 that was released. That is down below in the show notes. Check it out.
Awesome. Thank you, Phil. All right, guys, that was our show. Before we go, I want to give a very special shout out to a dear friend of ours. It's Leron. You can go give him a follow on Twitter. And yeah, he's our new Simply Bitcoin technical correspondent. He's going to cover all the technical shit that Phil and I can. But anyways, guys, if you enjoyed the show, you know what to do. Smash that like button. And of course, if you want to continue hearing the catastrophic fails in the Bitcoin news from the people perspective, then consider subscribing. We'll see you tomorrow, guys, for another episode of Simply Bitcoin.
I feel like what Leron said was very bullish, and it makes me want to stack.